Blog Talk Radio.
Muscle aches, rashes.
To find an answer.
Hair loss. I'm so tired.
You need to ask your doctor the right question.
Could I have lupus?
For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Good morning, and welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. Well, May is Lupus Awareness Month. Lupus is a chronic autoimmune disease that can damage any part of the body, skin, joints, organs inside the body. It can cause inflammation and pain to many parts of the body. I have two wonderful guests on the line this morning. First, Annette Myrick. She's the CEO for the Lupus Foundation of America's Philadelphia Tri-State Chapter, and lupus advocate Layla Moreno, who's on the board of the Lupus Foundation. I believe these ladies are on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Hi, Annette and Layla.
Yes. Can you hear me, Joy?
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can. Good. Okay. This is Annette. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Layla.
Thank you so much for having me as well.
Well, thank you, guys. You've been on the show several times, so you know the drill. But today I wanted to focus a lot on the aspect of living with lupus. But before we get to that point, Annette, why don't you tell the audience a little bit more about what lupus is for those who may not know what it is?
Certainly, Joy. Thank you. Yes, lupus is an autoimmune disease, as you mentioned. And for all of us, our immune system protects us from things like bacteria, viruses, and infection. And when someone gets lupus, the immune system is out of balance. And so the body makes antibodies, but they can't distinguish between a foreign invader or the self. And so the antibodies attack yourself. And as you mentioned, that can cause complications in any organ or system of the body, the heart, the lungs, the brain, the kidneys, the skin, the blood. Basically, any cell in the body is a potential target for lupus.
So, Layla, what kind of symptoms do people have that they know they have lupus? Because it seems like it might mimic other diseases that are out there.
The thing about lupus is that every person who is afflicted by it is different. It doesn't affect any two individuals in the same manner, and that's really what adds to the complexity of the disease. I could speak for myself. My symptoms started with very achy knees. I used to run on a daily basis, and I also, while in college, participated on a karate team. My ability to do so began to decrease on a rapid basis, and I knew right away something was wrong because otherwise I was a healthy young female. My knees were swelling up, and they were retaining fluid, and I had no idea what it was. I went on with those symptoms for about a year or two before I sought medical advice. That was how it started for me. It started with achy joints.
Now, Annette, a lot of people have symptoms, and unfortunately the medical community is not familiar, and they go misdiagnosed for years. Some people, I remember posting, like when we've done other talks and chats, it could be 8 years, 10 years, that they were misdiagnosed. Do you find this when people come to the foundation?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. It is a disease where the symptoms flare up, and then they go away, they remit. And so that in and of itself is very complicated. So in addition to what Layla was describing, she experienced, people sometimes have skin rashes and particularly across the face. So it's something that's unusual but doesn't seem like it's a big deal. And so the first thing is people ignore those symptoms. Other symptoms might be the achy joints, painful joints. Fatigue is one of the very classic hallmark symptoms, and it's the kind of fatigue that's really debilitating. So you could even get extra rest, sleep for 10 or 12 hours, and wake up and feel like you've still been run over by a truck. But there's no explanation for it. So by the time someone actually goes to the doctor, it could be 4 weeks, 6 weeks later, if their symptoms have subsided, they often forget to report them. And so putting all of the connecting all the dots is an important part to the diagnosis, and perhaps journaling those symptoms over time can be helpful. We hear that the average time is usually 3 to 4 years before someone's diagnosed, but when people finally get that diagnosis, they say, I've had this for 10 years, I've had this all my life, but they've just basically ignored those signs and symptoms. The other
I just wanted to bring Layla into the conversation. You were saying you were a young woman. Is that the usual age in the 20s? But children can have lupus, yes? Or is it only adults?
Not at all. Children can have lupus. As a matter of fact, babies are born with what is called neonatal lupus. You could have lupus at any age, but mostly we see it in minority females around their birth-given ages, which is in the 20s and 30s.
Wow. And when you say minority, are you saying Latino, African-American, Native American? Is there a particular minority group?
No, that is correct. Anyone who is of minority descent, we also see it among Caucasian women. We're not excluding them, but this disease unfortunately affects mostly women of minority descent. However, men and white women are also afflicted by lupus.
So let's talk about this living issue, Layla. You said your knees were swelling. So what did you do at first? You took, like, ibuprofen or something because you thought about, you know, it was swelling from something else?
I really thought that perhaps I was overdoing it. I thought perhaps I was jogging too much or perhaps I was kicking too high. You know, I thought, oh, absolutely has to be something I'm doing wrong. So, yes, I took some over-the-counter pain medication. I did some wrapping, I did some ace bands, I did some ice packs, I did all of that. But it wasn't going away. As a matter of fact, it was getting worse. You know, and it was an achy pain that is distinctively different from any achy pain that you will feel. It's a burning sensation, and it's also, for me, my knees had a clicking sound. Every time I walk, they will click, and each click was so painful. So I knew something wrong. I ignored it for a while. Like I thought perhaps it was something that physically I was doing wrong by pushing myself with my jogging. But after a year, when it didn't get any better and it didn't go away, I knew something was wrong. However, Joy, I must add that I was clueless about lupus. It wasn't until 2003 that a friend suggested that all of my aches and pains, by then it had already progressed. When I first started having pains, it was 2001.
Wow.
By 2003, I had progressed to elbow locking, which means that I wasn't able to completely extend my arm.
Yeah.
I'd probably be able to extend my arm maybe like on a 45-degree angle, and that was it. You know, my elbows started to lock on me. They would swell. My eyes became really dry and irritated. My mouth started getting really dry. And a girlfriend suggested that perhaps I needed to go see a rheumatologist and be checked out for lupus. And I go, lupus? Well, what is lupus? Like, what is
lupus? Right. What is that?
No idea. I am so thankful, however, that I listened to her and that I did go see a rheumatologist. And, you know, since 2003, now here I am.
Layla was talking about these symptoms, and in any health, chronic health condition, the concern comes up for health insurance. How can the foundation help individuals who find out, okay, I have lupus? Now, how am I going to pay for my premium? How am I going to pay for insurance? How am I going to pay for medicine? What about my rent, my food? What can the foundation do, or can the foundation direct individuals to resources?
Well, we do have a small direct financial assistance program because certainly coping with all of the expenses associated with lupus can be quite difficult. For those who are employed who have a good insurance plan, they still may have they might be taking 10 or 15 medications a month, and the burden of copay can be quite large. So that's where our assistance program can be helpful. When someone doesn't have insurance, we try to help them access appropriate resources to find something that will work for them. And certainly with the Affordable Care Act and the exchanges that will be coming, there should be greater resources available to people. Then in terms of recurring living expenses, our program is not, we don't have enough funding. We're a fairly small organization to help people with recurring living expenses, but we do help them access Department of Public Welfare or other resources to piece together what they need. And a lot of our philosophy is really centered around self-help and self-management. So we don't have case managers on staff, but what we, again, do is really equip the individual with lupus with the tools and the skills and the knowledge they need so that they can take control for themselves and try to access. But the health burden is really quite high. It's estimated that it costs at least $21,000 annually for someone to just the daily living expenses associated with lupus. So, again,
well,
we have a small financial assistance program that can help with that. But, you know, the bottom line is we really need greater resources to fight the disease so that we can reduce that burden.
That's one of the things I was talking about earlier with my guest, Jessica Wapner. She wrote the book, The Philadelphia Chromosome, and the cost of medicine, these companies making it like, say, $2,000 a month to get pills. I mean, if you're sick and you're not working or, say, you're working part-time, I mean, how can you afford to pay $2,000 a month for pills? It's absolutely ridiculous. So, Layla, let's talk about how the weather may affect individuals with lupus. What are some things that people need to be wary of? Or, again, is that so varied that you couldn't really tell from one person to the next?
It affects individuals differently. We often hear people with lupus say that they develop a sensitivity to the sun and the sun effect. But we encourage anyone who's suffering from lupus to wear sunscreen every day. Me, myself, sun does not affect me at all. So, again, it is different from other people. What does affect me, however, is the rain and the cold weather. I myself going to rain, my joints hurt, and I am always extremely cold.
So what kind of things can you do to help, one, alleviate the coldness? Is that connected to you being slightly anemic because of lupus? What are some solutions that you would offer to people with dealing with that?
I am anemic because of my lupus, and also it does affect my always being cold. So what I do is that I'm always layered. I try to keep layers with me or in my car wherever I go. I try to avoid air-conditioned places. For example, I still work. I still have a 9-to-5. So what I did in my office is that I asked for special accommodations. And in the summertime when it gets very hot in Philadelphia, they turn off the AC connection to my office. So that way So that way I don't have to sit in the office and freeze. So I try to avoid, you know, places that are air conditioned and things of that nature, and I always try to keep myself warm. I also have Sjögren's disease, which causes me to have dry mouth. So often I will have you know, gum, or I will have an orange with me. I find that the citrusy things help me keep my mouth moist, you know, and that helps. I also have Raynaud's disease, which causes my blood vessels to thin, and the tips of my fingers and my toes turn purple as if when I've been exposed too long to the cold. That happens to me even in the summertime if I'm in an air-conditioned place. So I always try to avoid that, and I'm always mindful of keeping myself warm.
That's some great advice, Layla. Annette, let's talk about what Layla mentioned at her job. They're giving her accommodations. FMLA, a lot of people may be afraid to come to their office, their employer, and once they find out they have lupus or any other chronic illness, you know, they may need accommodations. How can the foundation maybe help them navigate that, dealing with their employer and getting FMLA accommodations?
Guys, we are, again, coaching people and providing them with the resources that they need to facilitate that, and also connecting people with lupus who've gone down that path with folks like themselves. You know, a lot of the accommodations that can be made, the requirements may vary based on the size of the company, so sometimes that becomes a factor. In a small business, the firm may not be obligated to comply with certain things because of the size of the organization, like FMLA. I believe it's 50 or more employees. So it's a very tricky thing, and most people are quite reluctant to disclose to their employer. The Office of Vocational Rehabilitation is a federally funded organization that's organized by state, and that's an excellent resource we always refer to as an initial step, because they help, they're specifically in the business of helping people with disabilities stay employed or get employed. And so they can help that individual specifically navigate the request within their particular company.
And Julie, if I may add, I know that for a lot of people, it's almost risky business to talk about your medical condition at work because they're afraid of some sort of discrimination, whether it be not being promoted or even being fired. I want to encourage those individuals to speak about their conditions, whether they speak to their human resources individual, which in that case, that information being provided to them is completely confidential, or if they have a manager that, you know, they feel close to and they have some type of trust to be able to express their medical condition to their manager. We as individuals facing a chronic illness are protected by the law. We have FMLA, and we have several organizations out there that are able to protect us, including the Disabilities Act. And I want to encourage all of those who are affected by lupus or any other chronic illness not to be afraid and not to be ashamed, because this is a condition neither one of us has to live with, but we have to live with it. And just as how they make accommodations for individuals who are handicapped, we see it every day. They lower the sidewalks, you know, the street lights beep or they chirp, and they make accommodations for individuals with all type of disabilities, and the same should be done for individuals who have lupus. We are no less than anyone else.
Yeah, I think that's a real important issue, the issue of shame, the issue of fear. I mean, that comes up because you feel maybe I'm not as capable as I used to be. All these different emotions come up. So that's another issue. In terms of living with a chronic illness, Layla, how do you, I mean, if you don't mind me asking, manage, I guess, the emotional aspect of it? Do you talk to your friends, your family? Does your activism help you handle the roller coaster ride? How do you deal with the emotional aspects of having this chronic illness?
I was born with a big mouth, and I think part of that is with this anyway, but I must say that when I first got diagnosed, I hid it from my family for about 3 years. They did not know about it. I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. So I've been down that street. You know, I know what it is to feel guilt. I know what it is to want to know why me. You know, I'm so young. You know, I don't do certain things. I live a healthy lifestyle. Why me? Why me? So I've been down that road as well. I am so blessed to have connected with the chapter here in Philadelphia. I have met some wonderful people. They have given me a voice. They have allowed me to connect with people, and that is wonderful. And everyone at the chapter is so willing, you know, and just received me with open arms. So they were an extended family for me. The chapter provides so many services, from, you know, the support groups to the symposium to the walks. And just yesterday when we held the Lupus Day rally at Love Park, I met so many individuals who just came up to Annette and myself and just said, thank you. You know, thank you for being a voice. Thank you for not giving up. So when I have to deal with the emotional piece, which takes a toll on me every day. It's not a day that lupus doesn't affect my life. There are days that I wake up that I can't even dress myself. You know, there are days when I wake up that I can't even brush my teeth because my arms are hurting. You know, so, but when I think about all of the individuals that we are helping, including myself, you know, I just can't give up. You know, I can't give up. I do have a team of doctors that I count with. I do see a psychologist. I also see a psychiatrist to make sure my mental health is at peak, because this is a depressing condition. It's hard.
You know, it's hard when you're not able to do the things that you normally should be able to do, you know, when you are in your 30s. But I make sure that I say, you know, I pray a lot. I pray a lot to God. God answers me every day. I have a good team of doctors, including, like I said, psychologists and psychiatrists. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. My mental health is important to me, and I need to make sure I'm okay in order to be able to serve others first.
That's really important key. And Annette, let's talk a little bit just for people who are listening. If they start having these symptoms and they are diagnosed with lupus, what are some doctors that they need to have on their team, Annette? Layla mentioned a rheumatologist. Should they have a neurologist along with their PCP? What are some doctors they need to have on their team, and what are some tests that they need to maybe get every year?
Well, certainly the rheumatologist is the critical piece, and it is the principal specialty for managing lupus. And oftentimes the rheumatologist becomes the primary caregiver. Depending on the organ system that can be involved for the individual, that typically dictates the other specialist. So certainly if someone has skin problems, they may be seeing a dermatologist. If they have cardiac issues, and lupus is a risk factor for cardiovascular disease, your folks may need a cardiologist. About 80% of lupus might have kidney involvement, and so a nephrologist is a specialist that becomes part of the team. So that really varies in terms of the organ systems that may be involved. The mental health aspect, as Layla said, is critically important. Because this is a disease that flares up and goes into remission and is unpredictable, you know, your treatment plan can be tentative because of that. And being able to cope with that can be quite challenging. So building your own support network is important. So that can be your medical team. It can be mental health professionals. It can be connecting with support groups that the Lupus Foundation of America runs, or perhaps a chronic disease support group, your family, your friends. People will care if you talk about it. And the challenge is that, as Layla said, the instinct is to not talk about it. The instinct is to hide it. But unless we talk about it, people won't understand what the disease is, won't understand the challenges. And so as an organization, we try to give that voice. Layla did a super job yesterday at our rally, firing up the crowd and really put herself out there telling her story. And that's what empowers others to do the same. And when you feel empowered, you really do exercise control over your disease in some way. And that can definitely improve quality of life.
And Joy, if I could just add real quickly to having your medical team, what has worked for me is that whenever I get blood results back, I sit with my doctor, with my rheumatologist, and I ask him, okay, what's being involved now? You know, because your blood work may change from time to time. For example, if I have protein in my urine, then I know that I need to see a doctor for my kidneys. You know, if my breathing is becoming labored, then I know that I need to go see a pulmonologist. You know, if my heart is becoming involved, then I know that I need to go see a cardiologist. You know, so I ask those questions, and I don't allow my doctor to rush me out of the office. You know, when I come in there and I make an appointment and I sit down, we are going to talk about the things that are changing in my body. We are going to talk about the things that I need to be doing. And I just don't wait for my doctor to say, Layla, do this. I take it upon myself to do it, because ultimately it's my body and it's my health. And as patients, we need to be advocates for ourselves as well. And we need to make sure that we're doing what we need to do to make sure we stay on top of our health. Just don't wait for your doctor to tell you. Ask questions and then be active, be proactive about your health.
It's very difficult because people feel maybe overwhelmed. Like you said, it's a chronic illness. The symptoms vary. The symptoms you're having, your friend may not be having. And so you're taking in a lot of information. Like you also mentioned, you were healthy beforehand. You know, you were doing karate, you were running. So I think in the beginning it might be a little difficult. Maybe as people progress, they become a little more confident. I want to mention that you guys, Lupus Foundation, are on Twitter, Lupus Tri-State on Twitter. Also, they can call you. The main number is 215-517-5070. Again, 215-517-5070. Also, you can email the Lupus Tri-State Foundation info@lupustristate.org. That's info@lupustristate.org. Yesterday was World Lupus Day. What's coming up next for you guys? Are there any runs, races, fundraisers? What's happening next, Annette?
Yes, well, we have, we're going to be implementing the Lupus Self-Help Course. We have one course in Bucks County starting Tuesday, and that runs for 5 consecutive weeks. And then the following week, we will start a program in Center City at the Friends Center. So that's May 21st for 5 consecutive Tuesdays. We have a walk next Sunday in Ocean City, New Jersey, and our Philadelphia walk is coming up in the fall. That's the Lupus Loop. It's the oldest lupus walk in the country. This will be our 22nd annual year. We had over 4,000 people last year despite Hurricane Sandy coming. It's coming our way, and hopefully this year we can break the 5,000-person mark, which would be awesome.
That's wonderful. Let me see. Yeah. I have a caller here. Let me see if they have a question. You're calling from 215 area code. Do you have a question or comment? No, I guess they were just listening. Okay, that's okay. Don't be shy. You can just listen. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and I see the people in the chat room and the people on the switchboard. Layla, thank you so much for sharing your story. I mean, really brave of you to just talk about your different symptoms and the different services that you try to focus on getting for yourself. I think the key is being a champion for yourself. Nobody else is going to care about you more than you, so you have to be the champion. And Annette, thank the foundation for existing and providing these resources, because it can be so overwhelming that people need to know where to go and who to talk to emotionally, financially, medically. So the foundation is so key to that. Were you going to add something, Annette? I'm sorry.
Just a thank you for allowing us the opportunity to be with you today and to promote lupus awareness. It's greatly appreciated. The more we talk about it, the more we can propel our movement forward and hopefully lead to greater advances and greater awareness.
Well, thank you. Layla, what's up next for you? Are you going to be working on any of these projects that are coming up, the 5-week courses or the runs? Or
my next project is to get my organization to wear purple next Friday.
Right.
May 17 is POP, which means Put on Purple Day. So hopefully I will be able to get most of the employees in my company to wear purple. I really encourage everyone who is listening to wear something purple next Friday. And when people ask you about it, tell them that you're wearing purple for lupus awareness. May is Lupus Awareness Month. It's just one day. It's the entire month. So this Friday, May 17th, everyone, please wear purple. Do it for me. Do it for everybody who is afflicted by this disease, and help us raise awareness. I also want to ask individuals, there's a petition. If you go to the website for the Tri-State chapter, there's a petition you can sign. We're asking Congress to put more money into research for lupus. That's next. More advocacy. We need to have our government support us, just like how we support any other conditions that that we know about. Lupus is no less. It took 100 years to develop a lupus medication. We will not go silent anymore. We will not be quiet about this disease. We will make some noise. They will hear us. We will not wait for another century to have another medication developed. The time is now. We need your support, and we're asking everybody, bottom of our hearts, please support us. Please help us raise some lupus awareness.
Okay, well, tweet at me the link for the petition. I'll tweet and I'll put it on my Facebook page and also on LinkedIn so that people can sign. Thank you, ladies, both for calling in today, and I'll wear purple next Friday. If somebody can remind me, I'll put it on my calendar. But everybody else, also try to wear purple next Friday in support of making people aware of lupus and the debilitating disease that it is, but also making people aware of the need to support research and funding so that, like Layla says, not another 100 years goes by before they come up with another drug or even a cure. So thank you, Annette, and thank you, Layla, for calling in today.
Thank you
for having us.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, for listening. I hope that you will wear purple next Friday. Also, again, I want to mention that the web address is lupustristate.org. Their phone number is 215-517-5070. Also, you can email them, info@lupustristate.org. And they're also on Facebook, if you look up the Lupus Foundation Tri-State, or just the Lupus Foundation, a national organization. I will tweet that link for the petition once Layla sends it to me. I'll try to look for it so that you guys can find that. That only takes a minute. There's no money involved in trying to make your politicians aware of this disease. You guys have a wonderful Saturday. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I hope that you will have learned a lot about lupus today.
Muscle aches, rashes.
To find an answer.
Hair loss. I'm so tired.
You need to ask your doctor the right question.
Could I have lupus?
For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.